In Gulf Shores, Alabama, there is a section known as West Beach that features a small pass through which the Gulf of Mexico can flow through the pass into a lagoon and from the lagoon into the ocean, depending on the tides. Because of the force of the tides, the water is generally swift and turbid. But between the tides, the water becomes clear and calm. And that pass becomes a great aquarium. And you can stand above the bridge and watch all of the sea life scuttle through. And on such an occasion, between the tides, I was positioned above the pass. And I noticed a huge school of fish, positioned like a choir, with their mouths facing the ocean, just before the incoming tide. And I thought, those fish are doing, to put it in southern parlance, nothing. But they're doing nothing well. They know that as soon as the tides change, breakfast is going to be brought right to them in the form of thousands of minnows. They were doing nothing, but they were doing nothing very well. Those were really smart fish. And it occurred to me as I watched that huge group of fish positioned like a choir, the phrase gained new thought in my mind. Lead us beside still waters. And I realized we can't allow the presence of God to flow through us unless we are still in the still waters, unless we quieten our lives enough to let it nourish us. The image of that school of fish holds the key to understanding this well-beloved passage, which you have heard 1,000 times at least. Listen to it again. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. The key to understanding this passage is understanding the character of the author. He is writing as the completely passive partner. He is writing as one who is doing nothing, but he's doing nothing well, and allowing the Spirit of God to lead him beside still waters, to restore his soul, to lead him in paths of righteousness. The writer is doing nothing. God is the doer. The writer is the one being done to. But as the completely passive person doing nothing and doing it well, he is allowing God's Spirit to nurture him, nourish him, restore his soul. What got me thinking about this was a phone call some years ago from a very active church member who said, "Dr. Kremer, I'm going to have to drop out of everything. I can't even come to worship. My doctor has advised me, because of my medical condition, that for the next several weeks, I have to stay completely at home." I understood that. I appreciated her obedience to her doctor, but it caused me to start thinking, what if church was a place where we encourage people from time to time to come and relax, to come and do nothing well, and allow the Spirit of God to nurture us and nourish us and restore us? When we come to church, most of the time, we're challenged to work to connect to God, to work to implement God's love, to work to connect to each other, to work to make our faith real. And those are legitimate ambitions. But shouldn't church also occasionally be a sanctuary where we are invited to come and do nothing, and do nothing well, and allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, to be positioned like the fish, to be still before God's presence, and let that Spirit nurture us and nourish us and restore our soul. I was riding down the road one day, had the radio on, and this deep, mellifluous voice comes on and says, "Think of a cold Coke. It refreshes you. It relaxes you. It restores you." Ah. Oh. Now, what is that commercial selling? Coke. But not really. It's trying to establish a connection in the hearer's mind between drinking a soda and relaxation. If they can cause us, the marketers believe, to associate drinking a drink with relaxation and refreshment, then they will have accomplished something profound in our mind. What church would dare say to its people, "Come, come and do nothing, and allow God's Spirit to restore you and refresh you and renew you"? We're always challenged to do, to be, to act. But the psalmist suggests that sometimes we're missing the boat. Sometimes, for the sake of our souls, we need to do nothing and need to do it well. Jesus was the most active spiritual creature on earth. But how often do the scriptures say that he slipped off to a quiet place to be nurtured, to be nourished? How often do we need to hear our Lord say the words of invitation, "Come to me, ye who are weary, ye who are heavy laden, come to me and do nothing, and I will give you rest"? You have heard all of your lives, faith without works is dead. But hear this: faith that is all works is also dead. Faith that is all works is also dead. You need from time to time to stop and be still and let the Spirit flow through you to replenish you. And the truth is, my friends, our world, because of its technology, has become intensely busy. Our technology has eliminated distance. We're in the air or on the road time after time. We can connect with each other 24 hours a day. We can tweet each other or text each other 24 hours a day. But youth in the back up there, hear this. We are not designed to text 24 hours a day. We're not designed to be on call 24 hours a day, every day. God has designed us to rest, to have periods of rest where we are nourished and encouraged and nurtured. That's built into our being. Works, a faith that is all works, becomes dry and dead. They did a study of marathoners some years ago. By the way, if you want to feel fat, watch the Olympics. There's not an extra ounce on any of those people out there. They did a study of these marathoners, all of them highly trained, perfectly fit, and they had them run the equivalent of a marathon every day for about 12 days. And every day, the scientists would take a little muscle tissue and study it. And here's what they discovered. For about a week, training these long distances built up the muscles. But after 7 days, the muscle tissue began to break down. That was news to these marathoners, these active creatures who've been told all their lives, train hard. The scientist said, that's fine, but you also have to rest easy if you want your bodies to work. Training hard works to a point, but there is a law of diminishing returns. You also must schedule rest if you want your body to heal. We need to hear that message. We cannot heal ourselves. We cannot nourish ourselves. We cannot nurture ourselves. We need the Spirit of God to do those things for us. And that can only happen when we make ourselves quiet before God. Just like those runners couldn't heal their own muscles, we can't heal our own souls. We have to allow God to nurture us and nourish us through our stillness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. When I hear those words, an image comes to my mind. Image of a man, a good friend. Some years ago, we were on the vacation, and this old friend, this very good friend, this great man of God died, and as in the case of Bob Burns, I wasn't able to come back for his service, and it killed me, and I grieved, but I was consoled by this man's testimony. For he was one of two people in my ministry who has experienced what we call post-death experiences. On an operating table in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Mayo Clinic, the doctors thought they had lost him. In fact, they had lost him. He had the extraordinary experience of looking down upon his body on the operating table, surrounded by doctors. And he felt himself drawn to this extraordinary, inviting light. And he felt suffused with peace and with joy. But then he felt this uncertainty. Was he meant to go to the light or meant to be pulled back? And he felt this power pulling him back into his body and what we call life. And I asked my old friend, what did that experience teach you? And these were his words. I will never fear death again. I know what the psalmist means when he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of evil, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just as we cannot bring ourselves from death to life, we cannot bring our souls from dryness to fullness. We have to hear the wisdom of that old prophet Isaiah has said, there come time when even the young shall faint. Even the youth shall grow weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We cannot replenish ourselves, but Christ is our good shepherd who leads us beside still waters and who restores our soul if only we pause to do nothing and do nothing well. May we pray together. Father, you're constantly teaching us how to grow in our faith. And we know that there are times when we need to be so active. But teach us also to learn to structure stillness into our lives, that you might feed us and restore us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.